Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado with Lawrence Holmes, Gordon Wittenmeyer, Big Ant Anthony Heron. I'm David Kaplan. All right, guys, we have at least a partial resolution in baseball. The committee and the teams have voted 33-5 against accepting the 60-game proposal from Commissioner Rob Manfred and MLB. So, Gordon, I'll start with you. What do you think about this, and now they are meeting about their options?
I don't know what options they have at this point, because we know the next step in this is Manfred's going to impose what he wants. According to the original agreement, it probably means 50 games, maybe fewer. He could impose what the last proposal was, which is 60 games, but I would imagine it would be less than that because the owners don't want to pay that much. And as you well know, that opens up the possibility that there could be a grievance filed by the players at some point over the way they negotiated and not playing as many games as they maybe could have played.
I just keep wondering, like, was there any way that this could have been avoided? And it doesn't look like that is the case, at least from the player side. Like, I understand them voting no and saying, all right, well, we don't want to give up our right to go back and file a grievance on this. And it's just, I can tell you this, Cap. Over the last few days, this weekend in particular, I've felt horrible about American team sports. And I felt like the likelihood of them getting off and staying back, I don't feel like it's very good overall.
Anthony, when you see Bundesliga and English Premier League, and we watched a great golf match over the weekend, and we saw the Belmont Stakes, and now we've got NASCAR going, what is going on with American team sports?
We didn't get our act together. We didn't get our minds right from the start. Now, that was the issue, man. I mean, in February, certainly in March, there were opportunities to learn from mistakes that had already been made overseas by other countries, whether you're talking Asia or Europe. There was opportunities for sports leagues, for our government, for us as citizens of this country to say, we're going to do it better. We're going to do it differently. We're going to hunker down and actually learn from what was happening elsewhere. But, you know, whether it was debates I was having on social media, folks I was talking to, masked up in person, on the phone, friends of mine, there was this sense that because we're America, we will continue to exercise freedoms as opposed to giving some of those up for a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. And perhaps we'd be in a position that we're seeing folks other overseas in right now.
Gordon, the latest is that Bob Nightingale, and I'm just looking at the latest, Bob Nightingale saying he fully expects the commissioner to implement his plan for a season. There's also some speculation that because we're down to such few days to try and jam the season in, that it might affect the player's ability to win a grievance. What do you think of those developments?
I think the player's grievance will be based on everything we've seen leading up to now, some of the delays up until about a week ago that you can point to and make a case for. There were shutdowns in negotiations. There were at least three proposals of deeper cuts beyond the prorated salaries that all basically amounted to the same thing, which would be a basis for suggesting they negotiated in bad faith. And so that's what you're going to see. You're not going to see a grievance based on how much time is left now. You're going to see a grievance based on how much time there was about a month ago.
Okay, so according to Nightingale, Manfred is expected to implement between a 54 and 60 game season that would start no earlier than July 26. Lawrence and I have done a lot of shows together. We both said, how come it is where the players give an offer on a Monday and then we don't hear for 3 days, then the owners give one and we wait three more days? It's like, freaking look at it, say you don't like it, come back and give me something else. Lawrence, it's like delay tactics on both sides.
I've been really disappointed that there hasn't been more urgency in the negotiation. The fact that you had a whole week that went by where things were looking grim, that you didn't have Tony Clark and Rob Manfred in a room, and the fact that then, in talking to people that knew about this, Manfred left. Like, he left Arizona without there being a deal, and he'll tell you that he thought he had a deal. But until it got approved by the players and the owners, I don't know how you could think that. I'm not saying that those guys need to be married, that they needed to be locked in the room, but it would have made sense to have multiple days of negotiations before either one of them left the table. You take your lunch breaks, go home at night, all that stuff, but there's no reason to leave if you don't have a negotiation that's completed yet.
And that's why, guys, I fault the league side, the owners, more than I do the players here, because the owners in this scenario, they're in a different position than they normally would be, where there's not a guarantee of X amount of revenue going into this shortened pandemic-laden season that baseball is going to be about right now. So they didn't necessarily have a need to hurry the process or to keep things rolling in the way that the players did. So I do feel the owners have negotiated in bad faith.
Do the owners not truly want a season, Gordon? Because how is that at all good for business?
Well, we have heard that there were some owners that suggested that. And we heard that there was a camp. But that it's funny that the exact numbers of owners that we heard felt that way were the exact number of owners that it would have taken in a vote to prevent the supermajority of approving a deal. So I don't agree with that. We heard Tom Ricketts, the man that dropped the word biblical on the losses that the industry was going to take, suggest that he wants to play. And I would think that any of these guys that are worth a damn in the business world would realize that the short-term hit, the short-term losses that you're going to take are nothing compared to the long-term hit you're going to take if you choose, if this is your choice not to play a season this year when you had the chance to do it and it's over however many millions of dollars.
So do we all agree that Rob is going to do this and the players are going to play, or do you guys think there's a good chance we don't play baseball?
I'm starting to wonder if the players will, how worried are they? Like, think about it. In the places where we've seen spikes, there's a bunch of teams. There's been spikes in Florida. There's been spikes in Texas. There's been spikes in California. There's been spikes in Arizona. What are you going to do? How are you going to play these games? And where are the Blue Jays going to play now? Like, where are, because they were one of the teams that you were going to have in Florida. With the way things are going in Florida in particular, I don't know how you do this and sell this to the players as it being safe when Major League Baseball has shut down all facilities in both Florida and Arizona.
I completely agree. The states that you just outlined is 1/3 of Major League Baseball, and it touches all three regions that they would be trying to sort of create regional bubbles for. So I don't know that, and the fact that we're seeing all these positive COVID tests right now, really it's a pessimistic look to the whole thing. I don't know how you do it. And it's classic, isn't it? I mean, baseball is always last to the party on just about everything. So if they do get a deal done, even if it's the commissioner implementing something, now they've got the plan in place just in time for the virus to wipe out everybody. It's the worst possible look they could have achieved.
All right, let's move on from baseball to this just awful news out of NASCAR that Bubba Wallace's crew found a noose hanging in the stall of the 43 car. Richard Petty and all of the drivers in the race today pushed his car to the front, to the starting line, and showed this incredible sign of unity. But it's just another disgusting example of things that are going on in our world. Lawrence, I would love to hear your opinion on when you heard the story and where you're at on this now.
I mean, it made for a horrible end to a horrible sports weekend with all of the different cases of coronavirus, MLB shutting down, basketball kind of being in no man's land when it comes to what they're doing in Disney. And then here's the story about a noose showing up in Bubba Wallace's garage. On top of that, there's someone who got a banner and flew across the sky with the Confederate flag. Like, it's stuff like this that I appreciate those drivers wanting to have Bubba's back. I know that Jimmy Johnson has gone really deep into trying to be helpful. in this regard and rallying the other drivers, it's symbolic. It doesn't not matter. Like, it matters. But NASCAR drew a line in the sand on this. And I wonder if at the offices of NASCAR, they understand where they're at and how they're going to have to continue defending that line in the sand that they drew.
Anthony?
I mean, you know, we've talked a lot with good reason in recent weeks about racism and bigotry and who's affected by it and how we find it. Talk publicly about how I, as a young black guy, well-dressed, devilishly handsome, and I traveled everywhere from the Southeast to the Northeast and a bunch of spots in between and have experienced racism in a variety of ways. It's not specific to any one minority group. It's not specific to NASCAR fans to be racist, to be the ones pushing that narrative. But if there's a poster child, a poster fan base for intolerance, a lot of us do view that as NASCAR fans, and that has been thrust kind of to the head of the news cycle here. And you know, I don't know a lot about Bubba Wallace, certainly didn't before this instance we're in right now, but I think he's handled it extremely well. I think NASCAR is doing as well as they can under the circumstances. And when it comes down to it, I think that NASCAR will need to be as strident, as ardent in this pursuit as they can for a lot of folks who are having a fresh awakening of what folks kind of thought lied beneath, but is really at the forefront of a lot of folks' tongues and their minds when they think of minorities in this country.
Lawrence, it's another horrible example of what has gone on for far too many hundreds of years. Are you at all encouraged that we are seeing at least, and you put it very eloquently to me earlier when you said, it's a long road. I hope you understand. It's not, oh, 2-3 weeks and let's see where, this is a lifetime commitment. Are you at all encouraged by what you're seeing?
Yes and no. I mean, I have my good days and my bad days. I'm sure that Anthony probably feels similarly. Of course, when people rally to your cause, that makes you feel better. But the concern is still, are they going to continue to do it? These businesses that jumped at the opportunity to tell you how much Black Lives Matter, is that going to be the same as we see restrictions lifted across the country for the pandemic? Are people going to be involved in it? And then when we talk about some of the issues that are systemic, they rear their ugly head, and not just Confederate flags. They rear their head in violence in our city. And we saw one of the most violent weekends that we've seen this year, and the life of a 3-year-old snuffed out. All of those things are connected, and trying to get people to understand that connection is difficult and it's laborious. And I want people to understand that I want you to sign up for this, but I want you to understand what you're signing up for. Don't be in it for a penny, be in it for a pound.
All right, we have to break because Dr. Rob Citrenberg is going to join us here on the show. He's been on this show. He's been on the Cubs Talk podcast with me and Gordon. He's going to join us right after this.
White Sox authentic fans, if you don't have the My Teams app yet, what are you waiting for? Stay up to date with the best Sox coverage in the city and read articles from White Sox insiders. Bring the South Side to your home and download the My Teams app now.
Welcome back on Sports Talk Live. I'm David Kaplan. Everything brought to you as always by the great people at the Chevy Silverado, and their service centers are open. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to find a location near you if you need service. My dear friend, he's been on many times with us during COVID-19, Dr. Rob Citrenberg. He's one of the heads of infectious diseases at a major hospital in the Chicago area at Lutheran General, works for the Advocate Medical Group. Rob, you have been so kind and generous with your time, and many people are pulling at you. We're going to get an announcement on Major League Baseball. Can we truly try and keep everybody safe to continue trying to bring pro sports back?
I think you can definitely try, Cap. Whether it will work is unknown. Reason is, we're not really talking about one person testing positive or two people testing positive. We're talking about 5, 10, or 20 people testing positive at one time. And if you're trying to play a game, how do you field the team if more than half of your team is out on quarantine?
Okay, so Major League Baseball has told the players, we appreciate that you want to play more games. We have to be done with the regular season by September 27, get right into the playoffs and be done before October is up. Is that something that some on the player side go, ah, that's just posturing to try and hold the number of games down? Are you in agreement with what MLB is doing?
I don't think it's posturing at all. Every prediction says that COVID, while it's gotten better over the summer in most of the country, is going to tick up again in the fall and winter. It's probably more a wintertime virus. So come October, November, I would expect we're going to see a big uptick in cases in many parts of the country. So, no, I don't think it's posturing at all. I think it's good, sound scientific advice.
Because of the second wave, what does that mean then for sports that would play beyond the baseball season? And I'm talking specifically about football and then the resumption of the 2020-21 seasons for basketball and hockey.
I'd say it's up in the air right now. And I'm not even sure we have a second wave. We're probably still in the first wave. We haven't really seen that resolution of the first wave yet. It's probably still a continuation. Eventually that will go down and we should have a second wave. But I think that our initial predictions at the very beginning of the pandemic is this is probably going to be a 2-year process. There are a lot of disbelievers now. I think people are starting to figure out this is not going to go away anytime soon. So we're looking at wintertime sports next winter, even into next spring, in jeopardy as well.
So I was reading an article today, a doctor who's an infectious disease doctor in Italy said, I'm seeing the severity of the symptoms lessen because I think that the virus is mutating and it may disappear on its own without a vaccine. When you hear that, is that accurate? Do you chuckle? Where are you on something like that?
It's an interesting observation. It's not really scientific. And truthfully, the virus can behave differently in different areas. And perhaps this doctor has seen exactly that, less severe illness in the particular area in which he lives and practices. But I don't think you can make the generalization everywhere. We're still treating this like it's potentially a very serious disease. You know, most people who get this disease don't get very sick from it, the vast majority. But it's that proportion of the population who gets really sick and can even die from it. So I don't think we can make any sort of scientific conclusion that the virus is dying out. Listen, we'd love it to be that way, make us really happy, but we just don't have the proof that that's okay. happening yet.
Rob, in terms of bringing players back and guaranteed rate field, the White Sox will be at, and Wrigley Field, the Cubs will be at, but we've also heard that MLB will have a taxi squad if we are able to play. Do you have to take the taxi squad guys and bring them to another place, not at Wrigley, so that if, God forbid, there's an outbreak of the major league team, the other guys weren't training right alongside of that?
Yeah, I think that would be the plan. You'd have to have a separate location for the taxi squad guys, but there's no guarantee that the taxi squad guys won't have an outbreak there either. So it's pretty tricky. I understand the idea, but the logistics make it very difficult to do.
The NBA has a 108-page manual. I asked you about this 10 days ago or so. They have this 108-page manual where you guys play cards in the room at night, you throw the cards away, you wash your hands, and you get another deck the next time you want to play. That's how minute the detail is. From what you know of their plan, does it make sense that they might be able to pull this off?
It's possible, but to follow that plan to the letter is really difficult because it results in a complete change in behavior from everything you're accustomed to doing. So you can read the book. You might not actually be able to do it, though, in practice. The other thing is that they're talking about this league in Orlando in Florida, which a couple of months ago didn't really have very much COVID-19 activity at all. Now it may be the biggest hotspot in the entire country.
And is that because they opened up too quickly? Is that because people aren't taking the masking suggestions that I know Dr. Fauci nationally had been talking about?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. And we don't know exactly why, but certainly Florida is one of the states that opened up earliest, had the fewest restrictions. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of masking going on there. We do know that universal masking, everyone wears a mask, does help to prevent transmission of the virus. So I'm sure that that's a factor of why it's gotten so bad in Florida recently.
The other thing that you told me when we spoke on the phone, you said, look, I'm not as big on rubber gloves everywhere. I'm bigger on washing your hands over and over. Is that accurate? Because as you explained to me, and you could tell it more eloquently than I can, if I use my gloves, I touch something that's infected, then I pick up my phone, I've just infected the phone.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Cap. So gloves, you can't clean your gloves. You can clean your hands, but you can't clean your gloves. I go out to the grocery store, I see people walking around using the same pair of gloves to touch everything in the store. Does it really help? If there's any question of your hands being contaminated, all you have to do is wash them. You can use alcohol hand sanitizer. You can wash soap and water. And probably the most important thing, train yourself not to touch your face. It's really hard to do, but that's how you prevent yourself from contaminating yourself. But yes, gloves out in public, not necessary, just really good attention and hand hygiene.
All right, last one. If Adam Silver and Rob Manfred and Gary Bettman and Roger Goodell were sitting next to you right now and they said, okay, you tell us, we're going to try and play, we think we have good protocols, would you say, I would just cancel it right now, or it's worth a try?
You know, it depends on your perspective. From 100% a purely medical perspective, the right answer is to say, you know, let's, you know, everyone stay safe, see you next year. But that would be naive to say that the medical perspective is the only thing. You can't discount the economics and all the other benefits that sports bring us. So I think that they can try. My feeling is that their contingency plans of what happens when a player gets infected, they're not really sure what to do with that. As I said, it's not like one person's going to get infected. More than likely, a dozen or two dozen people are going to get infected. We've already seen that on some professional and amateur sports teams where large numbers of people and staff have gotten infected. If that happens, you have no choice but to shut it down because some teams won't be able to field the team for a given day.
Appreciate your time as always. You're becoming a multimedia star all around the Chicago area.
All right, Cap, anytime.
Appreciate your time. It's Dr. Rob Sitrenberg. And that is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our longtime partners with the Chevy Silverado. Make sure you keep it locked on the My Teams app, on NBCSportsChicago.com, and right here on Sports Talk Live for any breaking news related to COVID-19 and the resumption of professional sports. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.